Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a starting receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy Monday to you all. It is January 6th. 2019, and this is really like the first official work week of the new year, right? First full week, work week for you guys. You'll get through it. It's back to the grind for many of us. And what a weekend it was in the world of local sports here in East Lansing and, of course, beyond. As we, of course, had NFL wild card weekend. Was that fun or what? Some really competitive games that went down to the wire. Oh, that was really, it's one of my favorite weekends in all of the sporting calendar. You know, wild card weekend, that's when the NFL playoffs officially start, and you got teams who just made the playoffs fighting to continue in this one game elimination. It does not get any better. And we saw some thrilling victories and some really tough defeats. Just talk to fans of the New Orleans Saints. How about Kirk Cousins, though? You like that? Kirk Cousins was, I'll say this, he had an up and down game, especially in that second half. But when his team needed him to pull out a rabbit from the hat, he did.
You like that?
There we go. Jack Kerwin back from vacay on cue there with the Kirk Cousins. You like that. I believe that was a connection, right, Jack, to Adam Thielen, right? Huge, huge play to set them up for what was the eventual game winner there. But what a game. What a game that was. The New England Patriots. Is that dynasty officially over? Just as you see, a lot to get to from the camp of the NFL. I'm pretty excited right now because my Dallas Cowboys have a new head coach in Mike McCarthy, formerly of the Green Bay Packers. Jason Garrett is no more. They made this hire.
Gone. Yeah. Gone.
That's right. That's right, Nick. Gone. Gone. He's gone. Thank goodness. And they made this hire relatively quick because we got the official word. They had like 1,000 meetings with Jason Garrett. I have no idea why. But the official word came down yesterday. Apparently, Mike McCarthy had been flown in down in Arlington. He stayed overnight. The interview went really, really well. They didn't think it was going to go that long, but he stayed overnight out in Jerry World. And they hired him today. You know, he goes to sleep and wakes up as the new head coach of my Dallas Cowboys. So, yeah, I have thoughts on that, of course. But I also want to talk about one of the greatest performances in the Michigan State and Michigan men's basketball rivalry. One of the greatest performances, I believe, when doing some research this morning, one of the greatest individual performances in Michigan State men's basketball history. But Cassius Winston's 30-plus game yesterday, propelling the Spartans over the Wolverines inside
the
President Center. Yeah, beat the Bullies. Thank you, Ray. That was huge. And Cassius Winston played a perfect game. I mean, this young man, especially when you consider everything that he is still going through due to that unfortunate passing of his brother, to ball out the way he's been balling out and to do what he did yesterday, that was special. That was special. So we'll recap that jazz. And then on the back end of the show, we'll have weekend winners for you all. So happy Monday. multiple ways in which you can weigh in. You can call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to dial. You can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Or you can simply weigh in at the live stream at Facebook.com/WKAR News, as a few of you are already doing that and already weighing in there. All right. But you know what's next? Here are your quick hit headliners. Start here. We got to start here, right? The Michigan State men's basketball team getting an 87-69 dub over Juwan Howard, and the Michigan Wolverines just quite the individual performance from Cassius Winston, who had 32 points and 9 assists. And really hard to believe, you know, as we're watching that game, I couldn't believe. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, whoa, Cassius Winston has never had a 30-point game. That just kind of blew my mind. But he did last night, or yesterday afternoon, I should say. And those 32 points propelled Michigan State to that dub over the Wolverines. Can't forget about the X-Man, Xavier Tillman. Give it to you. Yeah, right. That's right, DMX. The X-Man and Xavier Tillman. He had 20 points, 11 rebounds. John Teske ended up leading the Michigan Wolverines in scoring with 15 points. And MSU has now won 4 straight against the Wolverines dating back to last season. So, you know, Juwan Howard, you know, he had a moment where he kind of blew his gasket and he went all the way out on the court. I mean, he went way out there arguing something. I don't even know what he was arguing. I didn't get a lot of clarity on that in the postgame press conference, but he was just fed up. And then, you know, what's so crazy about that run, Jack, is if you remember when Juwan got that tech, they had a stoppage of play.
Yeah, they weren't supposed to. That was a mistake.
They weren't supposed to. Let that thing play out because Cassius Winston was so hot. The basket was like Lake Michigan yesterday for him. And he hit like a 3-pointer on the right wing falling down. And the bench goes crazy. But, oh, hold on.
Yeah, it should have counted.
We're giving a tee to Juwan.
Yep.
Like, what? Like, are you kidding me, man?
So, by the way, this was talked about yesterday, too, at my other job. But have you ever seen a coach walk out as far onto the court as Juwan Howard did yesterday?
We were discussing that as soon as it happened. I have never seen that. I mean, he was. You would have thought Juwan was rocking the maize and blue jersey. He was ready to go in and check himself in to play. I mean, goodness.
The problem was on TV was that the shot wasn't wide enough that State was going back the other way, so he was off screen pretty quickly, which was tough because I wanted to see how far onto the court Juwan got.
Oh, he was out there, Jack. I mean, he almost went to the other side of the I-zone. So, yeah, it was pretty funny. Pretty funny stuff. And now there's like this viral meme going on now where the camera caught, I believe, Juwan Howard staring up at the score, and he looks just like he has seen the resurrection. I mean, it's pretty hilarious. You can find that meme. Check it out. It's everywhere. It has like Juwan looking up, and he's looking at the score like, it can't be. Like, what is going on here? So, yeah, pretty funny stuff. But Michigan, they get the loss. Michigan State gets the win, and they remain undefeated in the Big Ten Conference. More on that game and that performance from Cassius Winston in just a moment. All right, MSU women's basketball, unfortunately, they did not have as good as a game against the Michigan Wolverines. As senior guard Taryn McCutcheon
scored a season-high 23 points, but the Spartans, they were topped by Michigan 89-69 at the Chrysler Center yesterday afternoon. A tough fourth quarter lifted the Wolverines past the Spartans. Michigan State now falls to 8-6 overall, 1-2 in Big Ten play, while Michigan improves to 11-3 overall, 2-1 in league contest. And McCutcheon's 23 points were just shy of her career high, 25, which she had against Maryland in January of last year. Redshirt junior forward Madrika Cook also reached double figures in scoring with a season-high 13 points off the bench. For only the second time this season, sophomore guard Nia Clouden did not reach double figures in scoring with only 8 points due to early foul trouble. So Susie Merchant's team taking the loss there. Okay, Michigan football will be without receiver Donovan Peoples-Jones, who announced on Saturday that he will indeed enter the 2020 NFL draft. Peoples-Jones, a 6'2", 208-pounder, he played at Detroit Cass Tech, was rated the number one receiver nationally coming out of high school. In his final season with the Wolverines, he missed the first two games because of an injury, but finished third in receiving with 438 yards on 34 catches. His six TDs were second among receivers behind Nico Collins, who had seven. And Collins, speaking of Nico Collins, he says that he has unfinished business at Michigan. The receiver announced yesterday on Twitter that he will indeed return for his senior season. This is what Collins tweeted, quote, "I always have believed in finishing what I started. Coach Jim Harbaugh, Coach Josh Gattis, and staff have helped me grow as a player and as a person. After another season with our coaching staff and coming back will allow me to continue to work on my skill and development, in which will prepare me for the next level. With that being said, we have unfinished business," end quote. So again, that's what Nico Collins tweeted yesterday. He will return with the maize and blue. Okay, the Detroit Pistons, they fell to LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the Los Angeles Lakers on the road last night. A pretty competitive game, though, as the Pistons only lost by 7 points to one of the best teams in the league, 106-99. Blake Griffin, he has not been healthy all season. He is actually seeing a specialist this week, and he's considering season-ending knee surgery. This was my concern. When we got Blake Griffin, I said right here on the airways, we had Baby Buddha, John Edwards on. John Edwards III, who's a Detroit Pistons beat writer for The Athletic now.
Wait a second. He's Buddha's son?
No, that's his nickname.
Okay.
No. So the John Edwards was a former Detroit Pistons player.
Yeah. Back in the day.
You know, his name was, but so he just kind of plays off that.
Okay.
So we call him Baby Boo.
Okay, gotcha. An inside joke I wasn't a part of. I got you. Okay.
Exactly. Well, now you're in on it now, Jack, and everybody else who didn't know that. So, but you know, when Edwards was on, you know, he was all in and loved this for the Pistons. And, you know, and I got it from this standpoint, you know, in today's league, you do need stars and you need. You need not just stars, you need superstars if you legitimately want to be competitive in today's NBA. But when you look at Blake Griffin's track record, he is always, always injured. He had a great couple of years, but since then, he hasn't been healthy since. So, yeah, Blake Griffin, considering. I didn't actually know that news until, Jack, you put that tweet from the Bleacher Report in our reading notes just now.
Yeah, it was probably 20 or 30 minutes ago it came across Twitter. Yeah. So at this point, especially if he gets the season-ending knee surgery, they have to move Drummond, right?
Got to. And Drummond went on a record this week, well, last week now, to say that he is not a quitter, quote-unquote, not a quitter, and he wants to still be a Piston. So I don't know how much that is worth, but yeah. So we'll see what happens, man. But just frustrating news concerning Blake Griffin. Okay. The Detroit Red Wings fell to the Chicago Blackhawks yesterday, 4-2, the final, as the Red Wings now fall to 10-30-3. And a quick NFL playoffs wild card weekend recap, as the Houston Texans beat the Buffalo Bills in what I thought was the most entertaining game of the four-game slate, 22-19. Josh Allen, I tell you what, he played well throughout much of that game. You know, his future with the Bills, if you are a Buffalo Bills fan, you should feel pretty good about the future of your team. Deshaun Watson just finds a way. I Jack, cannot explain what in the world happened in that second half and in the overtime. Deshaun Watson just finds a way. He pulled off another Houdini trick, and Bill O'Brien and company, they get a win there. Also, the Tennessee Titans, they beat the New England Patriots. Many of you know that by now. The Patriots, defending Super Bowl champion, run ends at the hands of the Tennessee Titans, 20-13. The Minnesota Vikings and Kirk Cousins beat the New Orleans Saints in overtime yesterday, 26-20. And in the final game, you watch the Seattle Seahawks beat the Carson Wentz-less Philadelphia Eagles 17-9 as Carson Wentz went out in the first half of that game. Looks as though he got a concussion injury due to a hit from Jadeveon Clowney. So more on the NFL wild card weekend in just a moment. And as you heard me mention at the top of the hour, I want to throw a Jason Garrett is gone party at my apartment sometime this week. But yeah, celebration. Yep. Exactly. That's I should have put that on as soon as I heard that news yesterday, dude. and my Cowboys, they have made a very quick move here. And apparently Mike McCarthy has been on the radar of Jerry Jones for a long, long time, as the Cowboys have gotten right to work hiring Mike McCarthy as their next head coach. Hours after officially parting ways with Garrett, who has spent the last 9 seasons in the same position. So the Cowboys' final announcement is set for later on in the week. And Fox Sports NFL Insider, I can't remember the last thing Jay Glazer has broken, Jack, but Jay is pretty tapped in with the league, but usually I'm seeing like Schefter break everything. So I was quite surprised that Jay Glazer got this one.
You don't remember the last thing Jay Glazer broke?
No. What was it?
Spygate 2.
Really?
Yeah. That's the last time. The Patriots taping the Bengals sideline earlier this year. That Jay Glazer broke that. Yep.
Look at Jay, man. We're doing work. All right. I just see him all the time on Ballers on HBO. And I'm like, oh, there's Jay Glazer. I forgot that he's he's like an NFL insider for Fox. But shout out to Jay Glazer. He got the job done. I'll have more on my Cowboys later on for weekend winners. I listened to his entire interview on Fox Sports, kind of breaking down how this whole thing came about and whether or not Mike McCarthy is going to be handcuffed by Jerry Jones or not. Jay had some really interesting things to say on that, according to his sources. So, and according to the NFL Network, McCarthy had informed other teams that he was out of the running as their head coach and was dead set on becoming the Cowboys' next coach. And Jack types in my notes here. Quote, look on the bright side. Your team didn't hire Josh McDaniels.
Somebody's going to this offseason, and I'm going to laugh at them. It's probably going to be the Browns.
Maybe,
and it wasn't your Cowboys, so that's good.
and my top two choices, Jack, were either McCarthy or Urban Meyer. I feel like you're always rolling the dice with these college coaches because, again, they've never coached an NFL game. It's a different game, a different style. But if there was a coach who I think could make that leap to the pros and have a legitimate shot at being successful, Urban Meyer would be that guy for me.
Over Lincoln Riley? You'd rather have Urban Meyer than Lincoln Riley.
A little, not much over, because Lincoln's a good coach, too. I think Lincoln is another guy who could maybe make that move and be successful. But, Urban just, I don't know. With the way the Cowboys are right now, Urban, you need a coach who can challenge Jerry Jones.
Sure.
Urban ain't playing that. Urban would at least.
That's also why I don't think Jerry Jones would hire him. But.
Yeah, exactly. That's a whole other topic right there. So, and last but not least, Tua Tagovailoa, the famed quarterback, was injured, of course, this past year for the Alabama Crimson Tide. He has made a final decision on what he's going to do with his football future.
Lots of prayers, thoughts, and guidance. I have decided that I will be declaring and entering the 2020 NFL Draft. My 3 years at the University of Alabama have been the epitome of a roller coaster. I've had a fair share of ups, of many ups and a handful of downs, and I couldn't be happier to know that with all the success and failures I've had here at the university, it has prepared me for life in general.
No brainer. I mean, come on. Did you really think Tua Tagovailoa, with his injury pass, was going to stay at Alabama? Especially when you look at his stock right now. I mean, many project him to be, Jack, going somewhere in the top 10. He's not going to fall out of the first round.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, you come back and risk that kind of stock. Dude, strike right now. While I said last week when Connor was engineering the show, I said, look, man, football is a game, especially if you have an injury past, you strike that iron when it's warm, not hot. Don't come back hoping that you may be the number one overall pick. Because I think if he came back, he wouldn't be. You got Trevor Lawrence. You got
Justin Fields, too.
Fields as well. I mean, come on now.
No, absolutely.
So go now and see what happens.
Did you watch that Michigan-Alabama game, by the way?
I did.
The guys on the broadcast kept saying they thought Tua was coming back next year. What, it was really? Like the craziest thing I'd ever heard. It was like he was obviously never coming back.
No. Who did that?
It was Greg McElroy and who was the play-by-play guy? I'm trying to think. I don't remember.
But they were predicting that Tua was going to come back.
Might have been Tessitore. No, not Tessitore. I don't know who.
Okay. Interesting. Well, they were dead wrong.
Yeah, no, that was crazy to me. I think he's still going to be a top five pick. I think Miami's still going to take him. Why would he ever go back to Alabama?
Exactly. It just makes no sense at all. So, wishing Tua well. Okay, that does it for your quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to call. I would love to hear from any of you who have thoughts on what happened in this very busy sporting weekend, whether it be the NFL wildcard slate, whether it be that unbelievable performance from Cassius Winston and the Michigan State men's basketball team yesterday, any college football talk that you have, anything on your sports noggin, we'd love to hear from you guys. Let's keep it pushing. Folks, again, happy Monday, fun day to you all. Back to the grind. This starts the first official work week where you work Monday through Friday for many of you out there. And shout out to all of the warriors out there who worked through the holidays. Props to you. But we're back at it here on this January 6th, 2019. As you've been hearing, we got Jack Kerwin back in the saddle. Alec Rio, you'll hear his voice later on this week as well. You know, I gave a shout out to Connor Mathis, who held down the fort while those two were away. And before I go on my rant here about what I saw in that 87-69 win yesterday at the Breslin Center for Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball team. Jack, I do want to say happy 2020 to you. And how was your holiday, dude? I would be rude. I have been rude by not asking you that through the first 24 minutes of the show.
It's been good, man. You know, really awesome to have almost a month off back home with my family and friends from like high school and growing up. So really relaxing time. And it's probably my last like real Christmas break like this when I'm graduating in May. So definitely lived it up. Was at my buddy's cottage in Canada for a couple days. Saw my family in Chicago. So it was awesome, man. Had a lot of fun.
That is awesome. And I'm feeling old. Yeah, you graduated in May, dude. And I remember when you first came on as engineer, a part of this team.
Damn near 2 years ago.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Where does the time
crazy
go? Wow. So congrats to you, man, and what will be your final spring semester as a Michigan State undergrad student. So, okay, and it's always cool seeing the students come back after the break or to start the school year. You know, just driving around campus, there is a different buzz in the air as students are traveling to class with their heads down into their smartphones and headphones in. So it's always cool seeing that back. Welcome back to the students. Okay, Michigan State men's basketball and what we saw. And Andy, I see you. Give me a second. If you want to call in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Look, the big storyline here, Cassius Winston was brilliant. He was brilliant. He played what was his best game. Maybe, yeah, I think wire-to-wire his best game in a Spartan green and white jersey. I mean, we're talking 32 points, 9 assists, 11 of 19 from the floor. He broke a few ankles. Winston looks like he's back to being his old self. You know, if there was any doubt in your mind, and I'm sure there was doubt in many people's minds, including myself, how Cassius Winston was going to get back to playing basketball, let alone playing it at this kind of level, due to the tragedy that he has endured and is still enduring and will have to endure for a long, long time. It's amazing watching this young man play. When he has the basketball, you just, as a fan, as just a casual watcher, observer of college hoops, when you watch him with the basketball, you just get this feeling that he is going to make the right decision every single time. You get this feeling that he is in control. He dictates the pace. He is going to find the open man. And if there's nobody open, he is going to get off a pretty good shot. Cassius Winston is the best point guard in the nation and has been for the last 2 years. And it was on full display yesterday. And I don't think that the Wolverines really helped themselves in that conversation, because what we saw, I mean, you know, the Wolverines, you know, how much, this is, you can debate this all day, how much did the absence of Isaiah Livers hurt this team? You can debate that left and right. When it comes to this one-on-one battle that these two players have been having throughout their Michigan State and Michigan careers, and Xavier Simpson and Cassius Winston, you know, who got the upper hand yesterday? I must say this. I don't think that Xavier Simpson played absolutely horrible. I thought that Xavier Simpson played as good as he could. You know, he had 14 points, 8 assists, even had 5 rebounds, only turned the ball over twice. Xavier Simpson, I mean, when you look at his numbers, an overall solid game, despite the fact going 1-for-6 from deep, but he's not a great three-point shooter to begin with. Just Cassius Winston was, he played that much better. Cassius Winston, his game was on another planet. And that basket looked like the size of Lake Michigan. He could not miss. Everything he took, even the Juwan Howard technical. I was joking with Jack, you know, about the whole Juwan Howard technical just a minute ago, right? You know, when Cassius Winston comes down in garbage time, it shouldn't have been garbage time, Cassius still was able to knock down a three-pointer falling down to the hardwood. I mean, the young man was brilliant. He had no weakness yesterday. I don't care who you threw at him. You know, and there was that one sequence that was very, very cool. I tweeted about this while watching that game, where Xavier Simpson hits a three. Well, no, actually, Cassius started that party, because Cassius came down, hit a three. Xavier Simpson says, okay, I'm going to match you. He comes down, hits a three. And then Cassius says, okay, I'm in this thing. You want to battle me? And he comes down, and then Cassius, a very well-contested three-pointer at the top of the center three-point line, in which Xavier Simpson seemed to have a hand right in the eyeball of Cassius Winston. Cassius, it didn't faze him. He was that good. He was that good. Where Michigan could have helped itself yesterday, well, one of the big takeaways for me in that game was how Michigan didn't get back. the Wolverines, after a missed shot or even made shot, they were lazy in getting back in transition and playing transition defense against the Spartans. And if you have Cassius Winston running the show, pushing the ball down the floor, and he's staring at numbers for the green and white in transition, you are lunch, dinner, and breakfast. He is going to find a way to feast on you. And that's exactly what he did time and time again. I couldn't believe it. I thought Juwan Howard was going to make an adjustment there and ream his guys to get back in transition because they are killing us. That's what Michigan State does. That's not a secret. Michigan State is a team under Tom Izzo that loves pushing the basketball and finding ways to score and score quickly on you. So it blew my mind how Michigan was constantly just lackadaisical in getting back time and time again. Also, yo, I'm still looking for Eli Brooks. Eli Brooks played an empty 36 minutes of basketball. They needed him to be big, especially with Livers being out. And Eli Brooks was the only Michigan starter who did not score in double digits. He was 1 for 5 for 2 points. And 4 of those 5 shots were trays from deep. He was bad. Eli Brooks, non-existent. So now you're putting all this pressure on players like Simpson, players like Teske, to go out there and shoulder the scoring load. You need that third guy alongside Simpson and Teske, which is usually Isaiah Livers. And Brooks didn't show up. He did not show up. And who also I thought played really bad was Franz Wagner. He was non-existent in that game as well. Now, he did finish 2 of 5. He scored in double digits with 10 points, but those 10 points came in
garbage time.
Weren't that big. What'd you say, Jack?
Garbage time.
Garbage time, exactly. Yeah. I mean, those were an empty 10 points. Franz Wagner was bad. Teske caused Michigan State problems. I was very shocked. I think that John Teske, he's gotten better. He has gotten better. He's added some moves down low. He's gotten more fundamentally sound, and I think he's gotten tougher. But he was 50% from the floor, 6 of 12. Also hit 1 3-pointer. He had 15 points. And again, I thought that Xavier Simpson had an overall pretty solid game. He did all he could do. A pleasant surprise for me was Brandon Johns. You know, Brandon Johns, I covered him when he was in high school under the leadership of Steve Finnemore, former head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team. Brandon Johns, you know, he's been just riding the bench under John Beilein when Beilein was there. And I was wondering whether or not Brandon Johns was finally going to emerge or just be a guy who could have been. But Brandon Johns has worked himself into the starting lineup. He has gained some trust from Juwan Howard. And I thought that Brandon Johns was pretty solid. He was solid. He was a factor in that game. He was 4 of 9, had 12 points, 2 rebounds, even 1 steal. Brandon Johns was pretty solid. And we'll see how his game matures. On the side of Michigan State, along with Cassius Winston doing what he did, you know, you had Xavier Tillman who had 20 points. I mean, those two, Winston and Tillman, they have this synergy out in the court that is really cool to watch. A double dub for X-Man, 11 rebounds, 20 points for him. He also was fantastic defensively. And that's the thing. When you look at that game, Michigan State was brilliant defensively. That was probably the best defensive game we've seen from the Spartans so far this season. It was a suffocating kind of defense in that second half. A suffocating kind of defense. Guys rotating. Guys communicating. Not giving much space for the shooter. Getting a hand up if you did give some kind of space to a shooter. It was brilliant defensive play from Michigan State. You know, Aaron Henry, he was 3 of 6 for 6 points. Gabe Brown, 1 of 3 for 6 points. Marcus Bingham Jr., who has been very good defensively down low. This is what we wanted to see from Marcus Bingham Jr. You don't need him to be a prolific scorer. You need him to be in that paint, causing trouble with those long arms of the law, blocking shots, and shoving big men out the way and getting rebounds. That's what Marcus Bingham has been doing these last two to three games, and it's pretty cool to see. He had 5 points to go along with 6 rebounds, also had 2 blocks. So him and Tillman down low, watch out. This is what I've been waiting for with Marcus Bingham Jr.
You want to know my one complaint on this game?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that I was talking to Connor about this because he's like the driver of the Kyle Arns fan club. Someone needs to tell Kyle Arns to make sure his feet are behind the line when he's taking those threes from the corner. Finished with 4 points on 2 of 2 shooting, the yes. 2 longest 2s in basketball history because, like, part of his foot was on the line both times.
Yeah, he was 2 of 3, 0 for 1 from 3-point land. But, yeah, I know he has had, like, a part of his sneaker on that line when he takes those 3-point shots. So, yeah, Kyle, get behind the line. I agree with that. But you know what was a great play, though? Do you remember the play? And this was replayed a lot last night, or yesterday afternoon, excuse me. When Cassius throws it in transition, Thomas Kithier somehow, some way leaps to get the basketball and just gives a touch pass to the corner to Kyle Arns, who knocks down that shot.
That was incredible. He mossed the defender and bounce passes it to Arns in the corner, like, all in one motion.
It was unreal. I mean, Michigan State played a pretty much flawless game yesterday. Now I'll say this. Michigan State is indeed 4-0. In the conference, 4-0. Only undefeated team in the Big Ten right now. I am not going to sit here and start flipping my wig and saying that, yep, this is the team we expected. Are they playing right now, Jack, like the preseason number one team that we expected to see right off bat, without a doubt? This is what happens with Tom Izzo teams. They struggle. They play these big dogs. They struggle in the beginning. People start to panic a little bit. Oh, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, they start to get better. The chemistry grows. Young pups get better. Mark Rocket Watts. Rocket is getting more and more confident. I thought he was great last night as well. But I'm not going to sit here with Michigan State being 4-0 in the conference and start to make, again, you guys know that's not how I roll. I don't know. I don't even know if I need to say it anymore, but I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, this is a Final Four team. No. Let's see if Michigan State can continue this. But right now, this team is playing some of the best basketball in the nation right now, led by Cassius Winston. Do you think teams, Jack, will start to double Cassius now?
I mean, you're welcome to, but the other thing that we've seen the last month is not just, you know, Cassius continuing to play unbelievable, because Cassius is the one guy I would say who's really played well the entire season, is that other guys have stepped up. Aaron Henry looks once again like the promising guy we saw at the end of last season in the tournament. Give me 1 second here.
Definitely. And you know what, while you're taking that call, can we go to Andy right now from South Carolina? On line one, you've been waiting very, very patiently. Andy, you are on WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome to the show. Andy, is he there? Jack, Andy, calling Andy. Okay, guess not. All right, what we'll do is we'll hit our first break when we come back. Again, if you want to chime in, 517-355-WKAR. Many of you have thoughts on our Facebook page as well. I'll read a few of those comments at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. We'll have more conversation on MSU men's basketball. I also want to comment, of course, on the weekend that was in the NFL. NFL Wild Card Weekend brought it. That was a great 4-game slate. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
Thank you.
right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You heard my thoughts on what Michigan State was able to do yesterday against the Michigan Wolverines. It was a very impressive victory. The Week 10 Associated Press men's college basketball poll results are in. And yes, because I've been seeing a few of you ask this on our Facebook page. Is Gonzaga number one? Yes. Gonzaga is number one. Number two, Duke. Three, Kansas. Four, Baylor. Five, Auburn. Six, Butler. Seven, San Diego State. Michigan State comes in at number eight. Oregon is nine. And Florida State is 10. So that's what your top 10 looks like. As far as Michigan goes, Michigan is now the 19th team in the nation after that loss to Michigan State yesterday. But, yeah, Gonzaga is holding down the fort at numero uno right now. They have a 16-1 record. When it comes to movement here, Baylor, I mentioned, you know, numbers 4 through 10. Baylor moved up two spots, Auburn up three spots, Butler moved up five spots, San Diego State moved up six spots. And, yes, you're a Michigan State Spartans with a huge leap, moved up six spots to the number 8 position. Pretty impressive stuff. They also moved up. I'm seeing the coaches poll here as well. Not much difference. Really, no, there is no difference when it comes to the coaches poll and the AP poll as far as your top 10 teams go. And Michigan State moved up 8 spots in the coaches poll. So moved up 8 spots in the coaches poll, 6 spots in the AP top 25. Pretty impressive stuff. We do have Andy back on line one. Andy from South Carolina. Andy, your Michigan State Spartans looking pretty good, my man.
Al, how are you?
I'm doing well. Happy Monday.
Hey, happy Monday. It's beautiful down here. I did a little fishing, you know.
Okay, but nice.
Let's cut to the chase. You said that Michigan State, when it get out of the trap, right, when it get out of the start, and they knocked off Michigan, and I told you that I'd probably call you in 2 weeks, but okay, I lied. I call you 2 days later, and I'm asking you this. What is your prediction?
Prediction on what, Andy?
Michigan State.
On how far they'll go?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, you heard. It hasn't changed, Andy. You know, you heard me on Friday. You called last week, and you asked me, what are your thoughts on me? Because you ask that all the time. And, Andy, I'm telling you, I am reserving these hardcore predictions on how far Michigan State will go until we start knocking on the door of March Madness. It's still early to me, man. I mean, we're talking about, you know, four games into the Big Ten right. schedule for the Spartans. There is. Right. There have been. Have you looked at what's happening around the college game right now? I mean, we're seeing these major upsets on a weekly basis now. You know, I don't know how. Right. Maybe we can look this up, Jack. Look up which team that has been ranked number one has held down the fort the longest? Because I feel like we're having a new different. You know, we're having a new number one every single week.
No,
right?
Definitely. I think there have been 7 teams already that have been ranked number one that have lost. So
that's incredible. 7 teams, Andy, right now, according to Jack.
Or maybe that's 7 from the top 5. I don't remember. I can look that up.
We can check that out. But it's so much movement right now because everybody's beating everybody right now, Andy. So is Michigan State playing the best basketball that they've played this year? Without a doubt. But we still got a lot of hoops left,
yes,
man.
Yes, yes, yes. And definitely. It's my alma mater, and, you know, I do believe that they're going to take it, and just little go green.
Go white. Thank you, Andy. Great call. Appreciate it, man. All right, line two. We've got Ray from Indiana, who I know has some words for Juwan Howard and the Michigan Wolverines. What's up, Ray?
Happy New Year, my friend. I don't know where to start. It's so joyful. I'm uncontrollably unhappy over the start of the first of the year. First, on January 1st, Alabama just stomped all over the Bullies in the second half. Then we go on to Tommy and Billy going down when they made the goal line stand, and Tommy throws the pick. He should have had one for the half, and it dropped it like they always do, but they didn't drop that one with 10 seconds left. Goodbye, Tommy and Billy. You guys are on your way out just like Jimmy is. And then to top it off, the Spartans just stomping all over their rivals their fourth time. The only thing to make it happier is if there's a fifth and a sixth time this year.
That's true.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm good with that too, Jack. And it was a good weekend to be a Spartan fan. You forgot to mention, how about Kirk Cousins, former MSU QB, getting his first playoff win? That was pretty awesome to see as well.
He's a godly man like Kurt Warner, so I was happy for that too.
Do you think that when looking at how well Michigan State men's basketball is playing right now, how confident are you in the Spartans right now, Ray?
I don't know, because, you know, one game, especially at home, you can stomp on somebody at home. Now, when they go on the road, go to Michigan, that's going to be a different game. And they, you know, Michigan did have one of their players out, so
yeah.
I'm not going to get too carried away with this. But like you said, there's been so many top five teams that have went down in the first 7 or 8 weeks. There's so much parity until you get to March, and even then, you never know who's going to get hot and who's not going to.
That is true. And you know what? I saw, you know, you are the biggest Kurt Warner fan I've ever met, Ray. I forget what game it was, but Kurt was on television doing an NFL game, right, this past weekend?
Yeah, he's on NFL Network, if I'm not mistaken. So it might have been Bills-Texans. Was he on for that game?
He may have been on. Jack says that he may have been on the Bills, and maybe that's what
Or was that an ESPN game? I think that might have been an ESPN game, actually.
Okay, he was doing some game recently, and I'm like, yo, Kurt Warner is really good as a color analyst for football, Ray. I'm pretty sure you know
that. He made $10 million a year on the NFL Network. I didn't know they made that kind of money.
Wow, that's a lot of money. Man, Jack, we need to get a raise. No, that's
sometime
awesome.
Down the road. Yeah, we'll have a radio show together on, like, NFL Network. Make the
true.
Big bucks.
That's true. But, you know, he's really – I was very impressed with Kurt Warner and just listen. He's very polished. He was very polished on the air from what I saw. So, yeah, I know that's your
guy. I think he does a good job. But going back to the Spartans, I don't know. You know, it's so fickle, basketball, but football is the same way. Baseball, all of them. I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen teams be real hot going into playoffs and still get beat, or other teams, when they're coming in terrible, they end up getting hot.
Right, exactly. That's the thing, man. Momentum is so big, and, you know, if you don't have momentum, especially when it counts most, it's tough to just reach out of the air and grab that. So, hey, we'll see what happens, my friend. But great call as always, Ray. Appreciate it.
Oh, one thing before I leave you. I forgot about this one.
Okay.
Did you see when Michigan got stopped in the second half of Alabama, this guy took his football helmet off and there was Wolverine tears all in, piled up in it?
Yeah, that was and Jack just chimed in my ear because I wasn't sure who that was. Khalik Hudson, right? Yeah, he was trying.
I don't know, but...
It was tears. Yeah,
they better
tears.
Get used to it down there. The bullies better apologize for their behavior.
Come on, Ray. Come on, man. That's just passion. These are passionate young men. I hear you, though.
I know, and I know they are. I don't blame them for the people at the top. But you know what? You go back to 1940. Their history goes back to 1948, and they're still laying on that with their pride and arrogance. You know what? They won one national title. That was a half a title against and Nebraska probably would have clobbered them. We'll never know because they didn't have a playoff till the next year. But they've never come close to it. I mean, right. When are they ever going to swallow their pride a little bit down there? Right. I mean, the people at the top, I don't blame the players.
Right. You can't blame the players. I mean, they're out there just working.
I mean,
hard,
what have they did in the last 70 years?
I've been asking that for a while. All right, Ray, we gotta keep
God
it pushing.
God bless you, buddy. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. And why not? Let's take one more call. We've got a Mike from Saginaw on line one. Mike, what's up, my man? Happy Monday to you.
Thank you very much, Al. It's good to hear from you. Wish you a Happy New Year to this year. What I like about what Michigan State did is Michigan State know who the players, they go for the best close in. They pass really good underneath the basket. You notice that?
Well, you know, that's something I mentioned on Friday's show, especially when I watched what Michigan State was able to do against Western Michigan. The front court is passing very well from the post.
Yeah, they do.
When you look at Xavier Tillman and Marcus Bingham, if they get doubled down there where if they get a rebound, their eyes are up and looking to see who's open around the perimeter, and that has a lot to do with their success as well. It's amazing, man. Watching Tom Izzo groom a team, and it's really cool to see players figure it out and something clicks. That's what's happening right now for Michigan State men's basketball, for real.
You know what I'm thinking, too? Juwan Howard is a good coach.
He's not bad, really, right?
He's not a bad coach at all. I mean, he's going to get better talent because of his name alone.
Exactly.
But it's going to be real interesting. I'm looking at, you said Michigan State is undefeated in the Big Ten.
Right.
And I'm looking at all the teams in the Big Ten. Now, Ohio State is pretty good out here. But I'm just looking at Illinois and Indiana. They're not so good. Or Wisconsin or Minnesota or Iowa. I'm just looking. The Big Ten is like football almost, man. You know, you got a couple teams on the top that's real good, and all of them rest just fair to middling, man. But I do like that the Big Ten basketball is more competitive than the Big Ten football is. You got to give me credit on that one. If you don't give me credit,
oh, for sure. Well, definitely. I mean, when you look at across the board in Big Ten men's college basketball, I mean, there are a lot of teams who are on the same level. I'll just say that. We all know the Spartans right now at 4-0, the second closest team. We've got like a four-way tie for second place with Penn State, Rutgers, Maryland, and Wisconsin all sitting at 2-1. Then you got Illinois at 2-2, Purdue at 2-2, then Minnesota at 2-2. The rest of the conference is 1-2, and then you got Northwestern at 0-3 to bottom things out. It's Michigan State and everybody else right now, and everybody else is beating up on one another. So.
All right, man. I just wanted to hear one more thing about, could you comment on David Stern or when he passed on, how the players really respected David Stern? You can't get that from Roger Goodall or Rob Manfred.
Yeah, so I just, isn't that something? Yeah, and I commented on that one to end Friday's show, Mike. And David Stern, arguably the greatest commissioner in all of professional sports history. What he was able to do with the NBA to grow it to the level, the international level, that he was able to grow it to, it was pretty remarkable. Well respected. There were some things, like any commissioner's reign, that did not jive well with the players, but that's any commissioner. But overall, I mean, David Stern, the NBA would not be the international product that it is without David Stern. We all know that.
Between the NFL and the NBA, see that owners in the NFL, they can get away with a lot more control than the players. The NBA players, they much more different, but the way the NFL is trying to force that, like they don't control the players, but I just don't, the NFL is not being coming from a right place to me, but the NBA seems like they're more sincere about it. Thanks for letting me speak on the air. I appreciate it, Al, and I'll be calling you over the years, hey.
Awesome. Love it, Mike. Thank you for the call. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this Monday edition of Current Sports with some NFL wild card, brief NFL wild card talk, and we'll have weekend winners for you. We'll be right back. We have just 4 minutes left here in the hour. I just want to dive right into weekend winners. I'm just going to make this all an all-NFL edition of weekend winners. I'll start with my Dallas Cowboys. I'm getting this a lot. Al, what are your thoughts on the Cowboys hiring Mike McCarthy? Is it a good hire? I'm seeing my old engineer, Ian Hawley, saying, Al, this feels like Jason Garrett 2.0. I don't think that. I think, for me personally, I like this hire. You look at Mike McCarthy, this is a Super Bowl-winning head coach. A lot of people forget that. Mike McCarthy is a Super Bowl winning coach who has helped groom one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in Aaron Rodgers. I'll take that any day of the week. Now, say what you will about how things ended out in Green Bay. But again, there are many great coaches who have never come close to
to winning a Super Bowl. And not to mention, you know, when you look at, you know, his final years out in Green Bay, he clashed with Aaron Rodgers. Jack, Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest of all time. But the dude's personality, he comes
no
off
question.
As such
a prima donna.
A prima donna.
Keep it G-rated that way.
Yeah, I can't say what I really want to say.
No, I agree, 100%.
Off the air, you know what I'm talking about. He clashes all the time with these coaches, and it's his way or the highway. That's what happened with him and Mike out in Green Bay. I also didn't believe that they had a lot of depth with those Green Bay teams during Mark McCarthy's reign when it ended in those last few years. Injuries as well. So I'm just curious to see if you give Mike McCarthy talent. My Dallas Cowboys are one of the most talented teams in the league, in my opinion. If you give him talent like Zeke, talent like, you know, Dak Prescott, hopefully they get that contract figured out, Amari Cooper, then you look at the defense. I'm curious to see what happens. The big thing for me, and this is what I love what Jay Glazer had to say, because he was asked about this, will there be any kind of retention from the tenure of Jason Garrett, or will they let Mike McCarthy do what he wants and hire his guys? And according to Jay Glazer, Mike McCarthy has free reign to do whatever he wants with his coaching staff. That is huge. Can Jerry Jones make the hire in Mike McCarthy and stay out of the way and let Mike McCarthy do his job? That is what is going to determine success for the Dallas Cowboys. But do I like Mike McCarthy? I like him a lot.
Go ahead.
And people would get on me about this as well, because I got this criticism. Well, Mike McCarthy he doesn't run the football. He's going to waste Ezekiel Elliott. Well, when you look at Mike McCarthy's tenure with the Packers, and even before that, he had these great quarterbacks and got pass heavy because you got Hall of Fame quarterbacks. He's never had any Ezekiel Elliott talent in the backfield. So you better believe they're going to feed Zeke. I like it, Jack.
Okay. For what it's worth, I agree with Ian, which is saying a lot because I feel like Ian and I don't agree all that often. I hope you're doing well out there, Ian, if you're still listening. But
yeah. He just got a job at WILX TV here in the area, TV 10 in the area. So gotcha. Ian is back in the Lansing area.
Good to hear. You know what? It just seemed like an easy hire to me.
Safe hire.
Yeah, exactly. I would have liked to have seen them look for a guy like Lincoln Riley.
Okay. All right. Happy Monday, folks. And be easy, people.